friends!
Welcome back!
And welcome back to the Wednesday Bible Conversation for the Winnipeg Covenant Churches. This is Gavin.
This is Eric.
This is Cody.
It's a Christmas comeback!
Miracle!
Yes! Sweet little 8-pound, 6-ounce baby in a manger. It's time for the Christmas pod, everybody.
Oh.
Woo.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? People used to love when we'd sing songs together. And this is not a Christmas song, but you remember when the Bombers would do their kickoffs? They start their kickoffs with this song.
Everybody
do, 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 join. Do, 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 come on, join. Do, 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 do. It's another Winnipeg Blue Bomber podcast.
Who's got Christmas cheer?
I love the podcast at Christmas.
Oh, I am so happy to be back in this one horse open sleigh with you fellas.
Oh, I just love Christmas.
I love Christmas. Who doesn't love Christmas?
You can see it on your face how much joy this brings you to do the hello friends again. And yeah.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel good.
That's what's important.
We decided, I decided. I really leaned heavily on you guys to try to bring back a Christmas pod this season.
It's a lot of weight. It's a lot of weight.
It is a lot.
It's a lot of weight.
Ho, ho, ho! Too much milk and cookies and eggnog.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to Christmas pod. So, yeah. Friends, listen into our thoughts and reflections on the podcast and then contribute your own thoughts and responses in the comment section of the post on winnipegcovenant.ca or engage a friend or two in some conversation. We invite you to pay attention because God is speaking in the scriptures. Pay attention. God is speaking in your own heart and pay attention. God is speaking in the wisdom of one another.
Let's hope.
Felt good. Felt good to just say those things again.
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been since we were sitting around doing one of these things? Since June?
Not long enough.
Yeah, something like that.
You know what? Today we're going to, because as a couple churches, we are going to go through the Gospel of Matthew over the next season. We actually have been already looking at some of the weird apocalyptic type literature in the Gospel of Matthew through the season of Advent. A good Advent fit, but we're going to turn our attention to the back to the beginning of the book of Matthew and Matthew's rendition of the Christmas story. So Matthew's is just a little bit different. It doesn't have all of the razzle-medazzle that Luke's narrative does. It's just a different story. It comes from the perspective maybe of Joseph as opposed to Mary. So while Mary has the angel showing up to announce the birth, it has the whole thing about their journey to Bethlehem and the shepherds and the angels and all that kind of stuff. Matthew's is just different. Mm-hmm. It's unique. A little
more understated.
From my opinion, just doesn't get a lot of airtime. But it's super interesting. There's some really incredible stuff in that narrative. And so I thought we would just sort of dive into Matthew's Christmas story. But before we get there, I wanted to play a little game with you guys to kind of set the stage. So since Matthew is like the alternative rendition of the Christmas story or the auxiliary rendition of the Christmas story as opposed to Luke's, I wanted to do a little game with you guys. Do you remember a couple years ago on the Christmas pod, we did a tournament for the best Christmas movie?
Oh, yeah, I do.
And I believe the winner was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Of course it was.
It should have been.
It reigns supreme as the greatest Christmas movie. I started watching it the other day, and we didn't get all the way through it, so I'm hoping to get back to it. But in the spirit of an alternative Christmas narrative, I thought we would do a little game here with alternative Christmas shows and specials. So this game I'm going to call Noel or No Way. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you a holiday Christmas special, okay. Like a sort of made for TV or made for Christmas season special. And you are going to tell me either Noel or No Way, as in Noel, this is a real Christmas special that happened, or No Way, that is completely made up.
Okay.
So these are off the beaten path. I'm sure most of these you have not heard of, but so like, here's an example just to start off with. As an example, the Star Wars holiday special. Here's the sort of synopsis. Chewbacca the Wookiee is headed home for the holidays to be with his family, but they have to contend first with the Imperial forces. So Noel or No Way would be the question. Mm. Is that a real holiday special?
I yes hope or no? it is, but it probably isn't.
You're
no
saying
idea.
No Way?
I think it is.
You're saying Noel. The answer is Noel. That is that is a real Christmas special.
I love that.
It is absolutely insane. Bea Arthur is in it for a while. There's like a cartoon interlude with Boba Fett. It's super crazy.
They really awesome. Missed an opportunity, though. Instead of the Imperial forces, it could have been the Imperial cookie that they were contending with.
Wasn't Chewbacca in your nativity set growing up?
Chewbacca is in my nativity
oh,
set.
Oh, still is.
Still, he's a fixture. So Wookiees nice. Need Jesus. He showed up at the manger. Okay, so Noel or No Way, and you guys could just both give your answers.
All right.
Here. Okay, so number one, this Christmas special. We wish you a turtle Christmas. Now here's the synopsis: the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles realize they forgot to get Master Splinter a gift, and they hit the town to find the perfect present. Deck the halls with pepperoni cowabunga. Noel or No Way?
So this could be just like part of the Ninja Turtles series, that this was just a special for it?
Yeah.
I'm going to say No Way.
You're saying No Way.
I never seen it, but it's probably... I want it to be real again. I just want them all to be real.
You want them all to be real. Yeah. I'll tell you that's probably true. The answer is Noel. That is a real Christmas
Dang,
special.
That's
and
awesome.
It is unbelievably terrible.
Oh.
It like starts off with the Ninja Turtles singing like a reggae song and stuff. It's out of control. Okay, number two. Christmas Day on Planet Earth. Here's the synopsis. Narrated by British biologist David Attenborough. A look at the lives of the real-life creatures that feature in the Christmas story and traditions, including reindeer, turtle doves, and the domesticated sheep. Noel or No Way?
No Way.
That's No Way.
No Way.
It's too ridiculous.
No Way.
No
That's
Way.
That's not real. That's
no
not
way.
Real.
I mean,
David Attenborough,
he is sweet, but
he's classy. He would never lower himself to that.
No.
Okay. Correct.
Too inclusive. You gotta do all the religions then.
Oh, that's probably
that was a giveaway for me. You throw in Hanukkah and
whatever
Kwanzas and the other ones.
Like
maybe
some kind of gecko or something.
Maybe we
there.
Got there. Yeah.
Okay, number three, Christmas special. Ho Ho Hogan presents a very WrestleMania Christmas. The Hulkster and his little Hulkamaniacs hip toss and body slam their way to rescuing Christmas from the clutches of Jake the Snake Roberts and a cadre of heel wrestlers.
Oh, Lord.
Pray Noel or Noel. No Way?
I pray that it's Noel.
No
that
Way.
That sounds awesome.
You're saying No
it's
Way?
It's got to be No
Noel.
Way.
Noel.
Oh, it is No Way.
Oh.
It's not real, but it should be. It definitely should
be. In the mind of Gab.
Oh, there is actually a Hulk Hogan Christmas movie, though. I think it's... Let me think. It's called Santa with Muscles.
Mm.
Super terrible also. It stars a young Mila Kunis, though, as a child actress.
Interesting.
Fun fact.
Wow.
Okay. Now, you've probably seen somewhere along the way a Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
I think that was actually in our tournament of best Christmas movies. Well, here's here's one for you. You tell me if you think this is real or not, Noel or No Way. It's called A Muppet Family Christmas. The cast of characters from The Muppets and Sesame Street and Fraggle Rock all come together under one roof to celebrate an old-fashioned country Christmas, Noel or No Way?
Hey, Siri. Is there a Muppets Family Christmas?
You can't cheat like that. Muppet Family Christmas, Noel or No Way?
I need that to be real.
Noel?
I think it's No Way.
That one's real.
Yeah, I'm going no.
That one's real.
Yeah.
And it's actually super excellent. You could watch it on YouTube. Very good. Muppet Family Christmas.
Fraggle Rocks. That's underrated.
Oh, what a great show. So good. All Jim Henson things, right? All those puppets. They live in the same puppet universe, I guess, or whatever. Anyway, number five, Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever. Okay?
No way.
When a mall Santa grants a young girl her wish for a companion, she befriends a curmudgeonly kitty internet meme sensation Grumpy Cat, who helps her outwit a crew of bumbling criminals. Noelle or no,
no way?
I don't even know what you just said.
Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever.
Is that like a thing? Grumpy Cat?
Grumpy Cat is a meme, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm still going no way.
Like it's a...
You'll have to ask your kids or something.
I don't know. Sure.
That one's real.
Yeah, no, I'm going sure.
It's ridiculous and stupid. Okay. I've never seen that one, and I never will. Number six. You like this one. Evander Holyfield's Real Deal Christmas. Mm. Boxing legend Evander Holyfield welcomes guests that share songs and stories pointing to the real deal reason for the season. Noel or no way?
Seems real.
If it isn't real, it will be.
It's no way, but it should be real.
It will be.
It will be. Are you gonna? It will be. You're gonna finance that one?
Didn't he have Philippians 4:13 on his?
He's
shorts?
Quite a. He's yeah. quite a devout person. Yeah. Evander Holyfield. Okay, number seven.
Get Tyson on there. Come full circle.
Okay, number seven. A Cosmic Christmas, a futuristic take on the Magi's story. Three space aliens travel to Earth to learn the true meaning of Christmas. Noel or no way?
I'm you're, looking it up.
Are you
right
Googling
now.
This?
You're really into space. So this one makes it harder because it's like this could be in your imagination or it could be real because you like space.
I do like space. I like aliens.
I was tired of getting it wrong. So I know the answer, but you're going to have
to. I think
to.
It's real.
You're saying Noel?
Sure.
Cody?
I'm saying it's real.
It is absolutely real. It was on CBC all the time in the 70s as a special.
Which none of us were alive.
It's a Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Number eight. Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Christmas. A holiday cooking show serving up a top-to-bottom Christmas feast seasoned with a secret blend of 11 herbs and spices. Noel or no way?
No way.
No way? What do you got, Cody?
Yeah, it sounds like something that, I mean, there's always the KFC Christmas commercials, but this seems like it's not a show.
It's not real. That's not real. That's absolutely not real. Okay, number nine. Frosty the Snowman versus global warming.
Out with it.
Climate change meets its match in the eco-friendly fury of a magical snowman and his polar bear army. Noel or no way?
That does seem like something CBC in the 2020s.
Is it produced by David Suzuki?
Well, I don't have that information.
I think that might. I don't know. You see, that's a stupid answer. You never said an answer.
No
you
way.
Said
it's a no way, but it no should way? Be a thing.
The answer is no way. No way. Not a thing. Not a thing. Okay, number 10. We're
Gavin, you
done.
Have so many opportunities to like put these in. To motion here. A lot of these are really great ideas.
I know. As I was writing down these made up ones, I was like, this is a good idea. Yeah. I should see if I can make this happen. Okay. Number 10. Céline Dion's Joyeux Noël.
Yeah.
A magical musical evening featuring the talents of Canadian songstress Céline Dion, along with fellow Canadians Michael Bublé, Sarah McLachlan, Shania Twain, and the Maritime Zone, Anne Murray. Noel or no way?
That would be a great show. I'd watch that.
What do you think?
I think it's a real thing.
Noel.
It should be.
It's not.
There's no way. It's not real.
Really?
Isn't that a miss? How do we not have a Canadian singer Christmas special like
that? I feel
that?
Like I remember growing up, there was one that had Anne Murray on it. Anne Murray
might have done a Christmas
special.
Rita
McNeil was on it. I mean,
oh,
there was
Rita
like...
Rita McNeil for sure did a yes. Christmas special. She like for sure
year.
Did. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, here's another one. A Christmas Dream is the title. Mm. Now listen carefully. Mr. T plays a street Santa who pities a young fool by sharing the message of Jesus' birth. Featuring the magic of David Copperfield, the dance troupe, the Rockettes, and a ventriloquist dummy named Buster who looks exactly like Mr. T. Noel or no way.
I give it affirmative because this is your best idea yet if it's not real.
You're saying Noel?
I love it.
No way.
That is 100% a real Christmas special.
Oh, it's Noel. Amazing.
Amazing.
Yep, Mr. T.
I love Mr. T.
He gives like, you know, at the end of the, or towards the end of the Charlie Brown Christmas special, Linus does his little speech where he says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. There's something like that that happens in this one, except it's Mr. T, and it's unbelievable.
Do the impression. Come on now.
Okay, last one. This is the last one. Number 12, 12 Days of Christmas, yeah. 12 Noel or No Ways. Mm. Okay. Number 12, Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey, a stop-motion tale about a once maligned donkey whose especially enormous ears saved the lives of a very special and holy family on their wondrous journey to Bethlehem. No way. That one is 1,000% real.
No way.
That is totally true. No way. Yep. Nestor the long-eared Christmas donkey, and honestly, it's pretty sweet.
So you've seen all these?
One of those, not all of them. Oh. I have not seen the Grumpy Cat one. There's a couple other that I haven't seen there. But that one's actually good. I think that's a Rankin Bass one. They have lots of crazy Christmas specials. Anyway.
Wow.
So I want to talk a little bit about Matthew's stories, kind of like the alternative off the beaten path Christmas story from Joseph's vantage as opposed to Mary. We're going to actually read from Matthew 1 together. So I printed off copies of it here.
That's nice. Very colorful.
I'll read the first section. Cody, you want to read the second? And Eric, you can read the last section. So let's read from Matthew 1. This is verses 18 through 25. And then we're going to just briefly have a little conversation about this. So here's Matthew's account of the Christmas story from Matthew 1. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly.
As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophets. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
There you go. So different, right? There's no manger scene. There's no swaddling clothes. It doesn't even mention Bethlehem in there.
Yeah.
There's no angels. There's no shepherds. It's just a simple story about Joseph, who finds himself in this precarious position of having a pregnant wife when he did not do that. Mm. And he plans to divorce her, to separate himself from her. Instead, an angel appears to him in a dream, and he's told to take her. This will be his son. This will be God's son. This will be Emmanuel, and this will be Jesus. And so that's what happens. And that's the story. So the question is, what catches your attention about this Christmas story in Matthew's rendition this year as you read it? Who wants to go first?
I can. I think, yeah, I mean, the perspective from Joseph, I don't think I've ever noticed or really paid attention to the type of person that he probably was. My imagination was running a little bit more this time on, like, what would Joseph had actually been like? Like, what kind of person could I compare him to today? And actually, the person that I thought of was somebody who you guys went to CBC with, Paul Basinger.
Oh, wow.
Sort of this quiet... like, I think what got me was this, as he considered this, like, he had planned to do it, but it's like, he's almost like, I could maybe liken him to our friend Logan. Like, he thinks about things a really long time and is like, should I do this? Is this smart?
Yeah, yeah. He's the type of dude that mulls things over.
Yeah, and it's so different from how I am, where it's just like, once it's like, you go once you've made up your mind, right? And so I think it caught me that his personality was such that he considered things a little bit longer, and it gave the angel a chance to sort of intervene in a way that maybe it wouldn't have had he just acted on it right away.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that idea that, like, his willingness to sort of, like, to patiently consider something, even though, like, I cannot imagine the sort of, like, interior distress he's going through.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was flustered and panicked and angry and all kinds of mixture of emotions. But he slows it down.
Yeah.
And he considers it. And somehow that, like, opens the door for God to do something. Yeah.
Well, and really think about the reality that, like, no other time, I'm assuming, in human history has anybody become pregnant without the normal way of becoming pregnant. Like, this is not that we know of. So this, in his head, it would have been completely like, this is, I got to really sort this out because I know what happened here.
Yeah. How about you, Eric? What do you think? What catches your attention in Matthew's telling of the Christmas story?
You know, actually, it was a similar, I was thinking about, I probably didn't have quite as positive a view of Joseph. I had read that story and thought of Joseph as he was being very kindly about a situation that was kind of really upside down for him.
Yeah.
And he was being very gracious. But my take on it was he was figuring it out on his own.
Hmm.
And then it sort of took the angel's intervention. And I hadn't really considered the piece about, like, you know, him kind of dragging his feet, making space and time.
Yeah.
I thought about it more just as, like, he'd figured out his plan.
Yeah.
And
as far as he was concerned, this is the best he could come
to. So that's kind of what struck me about it, was just an invitation personally to, I like to problem solve. I think we're all problem solvers to a degree.
And I'm just a problem, like, creator, I think.
Yeah, maybe. And then, yeah, just make some space. Make some space for whatever, dreams, the spirit,
angel visitation.
Yeah, little mystery in our world.
Yeah.
How about you?
You know, so there's a couple names of Jesus that come up in that passage. One is, of course, Jesus, which Joseph and Mary named their son. The other is sort of borrowing from Isaiah, I think is that Isaiah 7, that reference? I think it is, where it talks about how the virgin son is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And it just came kind of like, I don't know, it caught my attention that Joseph's original plan, like the best he can figure before he has the intervention of the angel, is to, like, separate himself from the whole thing, to push it at a distance. To not be with Mary or with her son. And the whole point of Jesus coming, of God's arrival in the earth, is for God to be with Joseph and with Mary and with the shepherds and with the Magi and with all people. Mm. And there was just something about that, like, contrast of, like, our impulse being to, like, push away the sort of mysterious working of God in the world, maybe because we can't understand it or interpret it that way. We're kind of like, yeah, I gotta, like, keep that 6 feet or 10 feet or 100 feet away from me. But God's desire is, like, that withness and that closeness. And so there's something about that, the difference between those two, that Joseph wanted to, like, sort of separate himself, but God wanted to be with Joseph. And in the end, it's God's desire that wins for God to be with. And it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like a cool idea to me. When our inclination is to separate ourselves from what God is doing, God's desire is to come closer. And so, yeah, that was sort of where I was drawn to as I was thinking about that story.
I like that. I got a sermon for Christmas Eve now.
Yeah, steal away.
Thank you.
It's interesting. You guys both saw Joseph as, like, I mean, I've always viewed him more in, like, man, this guy really must be a long-suffering person. He like you guys, you viewed him as like someone that was doing it on his own. And I just have always thought, man, he's very gracious. Like in that scenario, if you were to place yourself there, the ridiculousness of like, how else does a baby get in there?
Listen, and it's Joseph, like, there was this angel.
I mean, not even the angel didn't even come to him at that point, but it's like, that's what you would be thinking was like, I'm doing a very reasonable thing. I feel like here.
Oh, I agree. That's what I was saying. I totally agree with that. Yeah. He was being very gracious. It just, to me, was a picture of how sometimes I do that thing. I've had never had that happen to me.
Praise God.
But where, you just sort of out of your own virtue, try to get it there.
Yeah.
And it comes short.
It's a really interesting story. Joseph is a super interesting character. He, for the most part, goes unmentioned in Luke's Christmas narrative. So here's his time in the spotlight.
Like Paul Basinger.
Mm-hmm. Like Paul Basinger.
He's mentioned on this podcast.
Also, Joseph could probably dunk. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no reason to believe that's true.
Air Joseph.
You know who should have a Christmas special? Charles Barkley. That's who should. Oh, that would be incredible.
That would be good.
A Charles Barkley Christmas special?
Yes.
I would watch that.
With Shaq?
Yes.
Oh, man.
King Herod was terrible.
I love it. Yeah, we should do Charles
Barkley
Christmas.
Is that sweet big church in Montreal? Is that a Joseph church?
Oh, like the one up on the mountain on the hill? I think that is a St. Joseph thing, yeah.
Something there.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a cool place.
It's a very cool place.
Yeah. You went from Charles Barkley to that. I was wondering what the connection between that beautiful cathedral and Charles Barkley was.
I was just thinking about that place.
Joseph.
It's a beautiful one.
Cool. Hey, okay, so there's actually a little bit more to Matthew's narrative that tends to be connected to Christmas. In some church traditions, they would talk about it more as an epiphany season, and that is the story of the magi, the wise men, who, you know, arrive on the scene and give gifts to Jesus. And so we're going to take a little bit of time to talk about that. So this is part two sort of the Matthew Christmas account, part two, which I'll call, but wait, there's myrrh.
Oh boy.
Not bad.
That's
not bad.
Nice.
Okay. So before we get into that part of the story, I thought, like, obviously one of the things the magi are most known for is this idea that they bring gifts to Jesus.
Baby.
And so I wanted to just have a little conversation together about some of your most prominent memories and personal stories about giving and receiving Christmas gifts. Is there like an experience of giving or receiving a gift that comes to your mind when you think about the Christmas season? A really good one, a really bad one, one where you like... we're on the receiving or the giving end.
I'm sure I've had lots of misses on the giving end. I like to give gifts. They don't always land right. But I was thinking more on the receiving side as far as being a kid. And you know, Cody and I grew up in the same house. Our folks didn't have tons of resources. So they were always trying to make things kind of stretch and work. And, and I have a couple memories. I mean... As a person that I was thinking about this, because we were talking a little bit about, like, you know, even some of that like love language stuff. And I probably am someone that like I like to give gifts. Like that probably is there's something there. I like to I probably like to give them more than receive them. I don't know. Maybe even as I age, it's more so that way. But but I was thinking about the effort that our parents would go through. Oftentimes it was Jones, it was Dad, who would he'd make these sort of really terrible, elaborate, scavenger hunts with like clues and stuff like that, and it almost invariably ended in the garage amidst all the other.
Let me tell you, the effort he put in there was from the resource of not putting it into the wrapping.
Yeah, and the wrapping was it was always unequivocally
a garbage bag.
Black garbage bag, always with just like so much packing tape.
Oh yeah, Father Christmas.
So I have a lot of memories. It probably date back to like a GT Snow Racer or something that you can see inside of
that.
Oh,
that's a good gift.
The Brett Hall edition.
Exactly. The GT Wars we'd have at the park with Bruce. That was awesome. But I have two really strong memories. One of them, 1994, a new edition of NHL 94 had come out. Mm. And my parents definitely couldn't afford the actual version for the computer. but they knew on Boxing Day for the first 50 people or whatever that would, like, you know, subject themselves to hypothermia and near death experience, they'd get it for $10.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I remember very distinctly getting a purple bill with, like, a coupon cutout.
That is amazing.
and the promise that Jones would
I'll
be able
stand
to
in line.
Yeah, he'd stand in line. We go to I think it was Future Shop. It was like pre-Best Buy.
Oh,
it was something.
My gosh.
I want to say Future Shop. And we went there at like 4:30 in the morning or so. It was so ridiculous.
Just to go get the game for cheap.
And then we get the game. And then, of course, the computer's too crappy. So I needed – this actually involves kind of like a larger Covenant family. But Randall Friesen was still in Winnipeg at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Planting Saint a Randall. Menno church. And he was delightfully nerdy enough to know how to do computer stuff for
yeah,
a reasonable
I remember
price.
That.
And so he upgraded the computer to make NHL 94 work.
Oh, that's amazing. Unreal. Probably so, for the cost of that, you wow. probably could have just bought the
– Yeah, probably could have actually got like a real Nintendo yeah. or something.
You know what's funny is I also have a very – clear memory associated with that NHL 94 game because that game ruled.
It
that
was
game
good.
Was awesome.
It was next
Sega
level.
Genesis for me.
Okay.
We had a Sega and I had asked for it. It was all I wanted. And we at the time were like, you know, whatever, not lots of money in hand. And my mom like did her best. And so what she bought me was a hockey video game, Mario Lemieux hockey, which was like the way downgraded rendition that didn't have like NHLPA licensing. So it just had like teams that were like named after just
Charleston
cities.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. No, it didn't even have names. It was just like New Jersey or like yes. Boston yes. and their uniforms were like pink yeah. and green and like totally made up. It had no NHL players other than Mario Lemieux.
Yeah. It just supported Lemieux's smoking habit or something.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Honestly, that would probably be worth something. Nowadays.
And it probably would be.
Yeah, would
and
be.
At the time, like I remember thinking, like, this is not the game that I asked for, but I had a real deep sense of like my mom just wanted to do what she could to get me the gift that I wanted, and so this was what she found. I don't know. Maybe she didn't know the difference or something. What does my mom know about video games in 1994? Or now? She probably still doesn't know much now. Do you, Mom? If you know something about video games, that would impress me. But, yeah, that stuck
awesome.
With me as, like, a real picture of, like, her kindness and her generosity to try, even though that's, like, yeah, that was an expensive game,
yeah.
so she did what she could. Yeah. What
awesome.
Any other stories around gift-giving?
Yeah,
what comes to mind?
Our memories are locked into the early 90s because I'm still waiting for Hammer Pants from my folks. I've said this before on the podcast. That's the only time I can ever remember.
You asked for Hammer Pants?
Distinctly.
Incessantly. Every day for months, I was like, I want Hammer Pants. And I remember my folks, I don't know, can you get them now?
Mark Vandersloos, if you're listening. Listening, Mark.
I'm going on Amazon now.
Send those green pants over to Cody.
No, they had like the sparkles kind of on them and they were really baggy, looked like Aladdin.
Oh,
my
yes.
folks just, they never got them. But they got me some other cool stuff, like, I think this was a Christmas gift, and it must have been a joint gift for us. Speaking of Charles Barkley, remember that 1992 Dream Team video?
It was amazing.
That was
we watched that thing
all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't no way either of us asked for that.
No.
I think that was, like, on special at
that
the Target.
That was in a discount bargain aisle as they're,
the
like,
Olympics might have been over
out.
Already,
oh, yeah.
for all I know, but we watched that thing.
We wore that out. Dominique Wilkins,
so
baby.
Often.
Guy could fly.
That was a great gift. Not actually, but...
It's funny. Yeah. A couple of years ago, my kids gave me a gift. I think I mentioned this at some point in the annals of the pod history, but my kids gave me, like, it was sitting by the Christmas tree wrapped up, and it was like this enormous, like, looked like a picture in a frame, and I opened it up, and it was like a print in this big ornate frame of the Last Supper, like Leonardo's Last Supper, and I was like, this thing's pretty awesome, guys, thanks. And they're like, well, we know you like Jesus, so we thought you might like this. And I was like, yeah, I definitely like this. This is sweet.
That is amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I had one other, you know, because we grew up in a pastor's house. We always did Christmas at home, wherever we were, wherever dad was serving. So, but I have, two memories. One being really young, out on the West Coast with the one set of grandparents, and then one a little later on, maybe dad was superintendent or something. We were down in Minnesota. at the Stember grandparents, and I remember Cody would know, you'd get to sort of the final gift. You'd have a bunch of like the sort of regular gifts, and then you'd always have
give me the
one.
Heart
you'd
gift.
Have one that had a heart or a star on it. A heart or a star.
Like just drawn on there?
Just drawn on it. Like, don't open this one first because the rest will be mega letdowns. Like,
interesting.
Those kind of things. Yeah. Like, this one's more valuable, more weighty.
You put it beside you and just pet it.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And you're just like, the rest is just dross. It's just like,
the rest is socks away and
with
underwear.
You. Yeah. And so you get to the star one the 1 year, and, you know, sometimes you end up with a group gift, sometimes you end up with a gift that's wrapped exactly the same as another sibling, and you're like, okay, we got the same thing. So Jay, John, and I got the same gift, and it probably wasn't. I can't remember how it was wrapped. I'm guessing it wasn't wrapped as a
trash bag,
as a Bible, because we probably would have been onto it. But we got the giant teen NIV study Bible.
Oh, amazing!
A teal application.
Oh
Bible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And just like, I'm sure we could not hold back the just disdain. The Jesus level of indignance.
I'm pretty sure I got some sweet hockey gloves that year.
Yeah.
I was doing okay.
Yeah. But here's the key is a little life lesson with a gift is if once we actually got to sort of handling it and actually opened it up, there was a whole bunch of U.S. cash in there.
Ooh.
But we would have never actually got to the U.S. cash if we didn't open it.
That is hilarious.
So, an interesting... The real gift was inside, I guess, one way or another.
Was all the cash in the same place, or did you have to sort of like make your way through the Bible?
I feel like it was page one, because they knew we'd never get to it otherwise.
They hide it in like Second Chronicles to see if you get there.
Exactly.
It's in the Levitical laws to do tithing or something. Just like, what are you going to do with this? Jump.
Yeah, a lot of good memories. Hopefully my kids are as, you know, traumatized or, you know, long-term shaped by the goodness
of
gift giving.
We spoil our kids way more than we got spoiled. Come on now.
Oh, I don't know.
I do wonder, though, like, does that make your kids, like, do they remember it more because of that?
I would think less.
Or does it almost
become
like
less
significant because of the amount of stuff that they're given?
You're right. I haven't bought gifts yet. I'm going to get them the worst gifts this year.
Yeah.
And I think it'll work for the better.
I think we turn off gift giving to our kids for the next 3 or 4 years. And then we come back to it and they'll be way more grateful. That's what I think.
You know, I actually was thinking about this because we were talking about it before. You gave us the prompt. You gave us the prompt. And and we all sort of sat a little bit, you know, blank-eyed, like, I don't know, I can't even really, like, it's all kind of a blur, what have I even gotten? And there was a little bit for me of like, isn't that maybe partially it, like in the muchness of our good lives, like I wonder if there's maybe an invitation for some gratitude.
And maybe that just like drowning in more and more stuff is like, it's not actually better. It doesn't actually, maybe it doesn't even communicate all the time what we think it communicates, our love for our kids or whatever, our desire to make them happy and stuff. I don't know.
Just get them a Bible, and then you'll really see what happens.
Those greenbacks are expensive these days.
Oh,
you can't be stuffing American cash in there.
Maybe some hammer pants.
Wrap it in there.
Okay. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar field and fountain, moor and mountain, following
I don't know the words.
Yonder star.
I only know the...
That's enough.
Okay.
Sometimes. Hey, you guys did a great job with that song the other day at your Christmas concert.
That's all the Jances, man.
Awesome.
They
the
love that song.
That song is good.
Yeah.
Is that coming out on the 31st? It's got to.
We'll bring it up.
Oh, it has to.
Yeah. It has to. When we're doing worship together.
I know all
FCC.
The alternative lyrics, you know, the like, try to smoke a rubber cigar. It was loaded. It exploded. Thank you, Chancellor School.
That's classic. Yeah. Okay, so sometimes referred to as kings, sometimes as wise men, the Magi, they're mysterious characters who appear only in the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew is pretty sparse and scant with the details of these figures. Tradition names them three: Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, likely coming from an Armenian gospel account from about 500 years into the Common Era. And it lists them as kings of India, Persia, and Arabia, respectively. There's also like this 8th century Syriac manuscript that says they're magi or mystics from the Afar Land of Shir, which is, some people think, China. Still other accounts believe them to be members of a Median tribe or descendants of a Persian class of priests. We don't really know. What we do know about the Magi from the biblical account is, one, they were from the east. Two, they followed the sign of a star in the sky. Three, they came to worship the king who was born that the star represented. Four, King Herod tried to leverage their knowledge to help him root out this king who challenged his throne. And five, that they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, which is like a perfume, and myrrh, which is an anointing oil. So I wondered if together we could read this part. Oh, mind my bells.
And also seven, their final resting place is in front of the artist formerly known as Great West Life. Take a little trip down.
I think
Osport.
It was six, but yeah, yeah, they are on there.
There you go.
Yeah, what is the deal with that? Is it has something to do with like
I'm like super surprised
something?
It hasn't been like canceled or something.
Yeah,
I like it. It's I like huge. That it's there.
It's huge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna read this section from Matthew 2. So this is verses 1-12. I'll read what's the first section there, and who read the second one?
Cole? I did. Yeah,
he's the red letter.
The third. So we'll read this, and then we'll talk a little bit about this. So. From Matthew 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him."
King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?"
"In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel."
And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Okay. A lot of dreams in the first chapters of Matthew,
yeah.
Right? Joseph is visited by an angel in a dream.
Yeah.
The Magi get dreams. Huh. Okay. So I was thinking about this picture of the Magi, unique again to the gospel account of Matthew, and the Magi, they bring these gifts. We were talking about gifts. I think trying to like draw together into something that looks like response to the Christmas story. Maybe here's a question. What gift could we offer to Jesus in this season? What gift could we give? Any thoughts on that?
For me, I think just making more space for the mystery. Like you said, I mean, dreams are kind of, they're in Matthew, they're in Luke.
Yeah.
They're in our lives. I'm not saying just dreams, but making the consideration space, as you mentioned, Cody. I think, yeah, tying the two together for me, it's like I'm a planner. I'm a fixer. I'm a solver. I think the gift is like being maybe more overt in 2024 to invite the Spirit to be the leader in those things. Mm. So
that's good.
I think for me, I mean, even as we read it just now, I was just thinking like, you know, the gift of focus that one would give the Magi. I mean, I don't think I ever really thought about it. I mean, if they actually did come from India or China or wherever it was, that is a long way to travel
so far
on foot. And to the amounts of different topography, you know, the geography that they traverse to worship this king. Mm. And I was just thinking, like, to give the gift of focus, like, what if our lives were oriented around surrender in that kind of a way, where it's like we would do and go through anything to get to that king and to offer a gift of worship. That's what these wise men did, and I think that would be the appropriate gift even today.
Yeah. Yeah, similarly, I think I was thinking something about, like, giving the gift of a long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sort of patient process for the Magi of... Whoa, that's a dad sneeze. That was crazy. Are
Sorry.
You okay?
Yeah.
Bless you.
Yeah.
The Magi travel far. Wherever they came from, it was far. Mm-hmm. And it probably took days and weeks and maybe months. And who knows? Maybe even years. We don't know. And then they also journey back. I mean, they just the sort of like faithfulness and determination and long suffering that is implied in that sort of journey, I think, is like beyond just the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. Is like the journey says something so much about their hearts desiring to worship the newborn king. And so I just wonder if like there's a gift we could give God in like our endurance, in our diligence and in our sort of long suffering through like through the journey.
Mm-hmm.
In times where like maybe our seeking of God has seemed like it is not really paying off yet, mm-hmm. or like we're still waiting for some kind of encounter. Mm-hmm. That maybe there's an offering that we make to God in continuing forward. And so for me, that seems like a gift in itself. Oh, it's just the diligence right there. So
some perseverance.
Yeah.
That's a lot of those weird apocalyptic Matthew stories that we've been sitting in.
Totally. Yeah.
Endure, persevere, be ready.
Yep. Yeah. Continuing on, just keep on keeping on. So there you go. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
You know what? This is the first one of these we've recorded in, I don't know, 6 or 7 months or something like that. And we had a good long run where we didn't really miss decided to come back for this Christmas special. We are not going to be returning as of now to like a consistent weekly rhythm, but... What we are going to commit to is to doing some of these, maybe in like mini series. So our goal is to, in 4 sessions or so between now and the start of Lent, cover the Gospel of Matthew and talk through that Gospel book, chat together, and hopefully it comes out and draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make any promises about what dates the things will come out, other than they're going to come out on Wednesdays, because otherwise our name is irrelevant. So we're going to schedule the post for Wednesdays, but something like a rhythm of every other week or something like that. We'll have 4 podcasts on Matthew over the next couple months, and that makes it important for you to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify, those kinds of things, so that it just shows up directly to your device when it is released, and hopefully you can encounter Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. We invite you to contribute your own thoughts and responses in the comment section of the post on winnipegcovenant.ca. Engage a friend or two in conversation. Have a chat about like some of the memorable giving and receiving of gifts. Talk about the Christmas story and what it does to you and in you, and pay attention. because God is speaking in these scriptures. Pay attention, God is speaking in your own heart, and pay attention, God is speaking in the wisdom of one another.